The Healthy Bronx podcast features the work of community leaders, grassroots organizers, policymakers, and healthcare workers to better understand the state of health in the Bronx. My name is Alexander Levine.
If enacted, the American Jobs Plan presents a historic moment to fundamentally reimagine the Cross Bronx Expressway and reverse the legacy of environmental racism that it has left behind. Assemblymember Reyes and I sent a letter to Secretary Pete Buttigieg calling upon him to prioritize the transformation of the Cross Bronx Expressway, which is long overdue. You know, built by Robert Moses, the Cross Bronx has been a plague on the public health of the Bronx. It has left in its wake decades of displacement and disinvestment, environmental degradation, and chronic disease, disease that has grown more dangerous and much deadlier in the midst of COVID-19. You know, there's a common misconception that public health is primarily a product of personal choice, personal diet. But we know from lived experience, we know from empirical research, that the public health of the Bronx has more to do with structural barrier than personal behavior. And the single greatest structural barrier to the public health of our borough is the Cross Bronx Expressway. With the Cross Bronx, we have by far the highest concentration of diesel truck traffic in a densely populated area in the United States. Every hour, there are 300 diesel trucks that travel through the Cross Bronx. In Hunts Point alone, there's an estimated 15,000 trucks that travel to and from the Hunts Point produce market every single day. The truck traffic of the Cross Bronx Expressway has led to alarming rates of air pollution in the South Bronx. The level of fine particulate matter, the worst air pollutant, is 7.5 micrograms per cubic meter in New York City. It is 7.8 in the Bronx writ large. It is 8.6 in the South Bronx. According to the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, air pollution is closely associated with COVID-19. It is no accident that the South Bronx, which has long been polluted by the environmental effects of the Cross Bronx Expressway, was ground zero for COVID-19 morbidity and mortality during the peak of the pandemic. Air pollution is not a choice. There's no child who chose to breathe in air pollutants. There are thousands of children who live near the Cross Bronx Expressway, who attend school near the Cross Bronx Expressway, and who, through no fault of their own, are breathing in pollutants that cause them chronic disease. The most common chronic disease afflicting our children is asthma. And as a son of the Bronx myself, I spent most of my childhood in three places, at home, in school, and in the emergency room, because I was repeatedly hospitalized for asthma. And my own struggle with asthma hospitalization is not unique. It is a widespread reality here in the South Bronx.
That clip you just heard is from April 23rd at a press conference in Park Chester, right near the portion of highway that in our last episode, Nilka Martel talked about her advocacy efforts to cap. What we hear in that clip from Richie Torres and from other policymakers throughout that day is that efforts to reimagine the Cross Bronx Expressway are inspired by the fact that it's seen as a public health issue, Everyone who spoke that day talked about asthma. It was either they had asthma as a child or someone in their family had asthma, and how that meant that the pandemic was particularly stressful for them, that they were worried that COVID-19 would affect them more seriously than others because of this underlying condition. In the rest of this episode, you'll hear a conversation between myself and Congressman Richie Torres soon after the press conference on that same day, April 23rd.
To begin, why do you see the Cross Bronx Expressway as a health issue from your end as a policymaker at the federal level and connecting to your experiences before working in city politics as well?
Well, the answer for me is simple. The Cross Bronx Expressway leads to more diesel truck traffic. And diesel truck traffic leads to more air pollution. And more air pollution leads to more chronic disease. So the Cross Bronx Expressway is the context in which the South Bronx was hit the hardest by COVID-19. You know, almost all COVID fatalities had at least one comorbidity, and the most common among them were cardiovascular diseases. And we in the Bronx are struggling with these diseases, not in a vacuum. We're struggling with them against the backdrop of the Cross Bronx Expressway, which has polluted the air we breathe for decades. And we are haunted by the ghost of Robert Moses. And I see the American Jobs Plan as a historic opportunity to dismantle the legacy of Robert Moses. And we purpose the Cross Bronx Expressway for the benefit of the Black and brown people who largely live in the South Bronx.
And so when I think about, like, I remember early on in your career hearing you say that The Power Broker was your favorite book, and you actually signed a copy that we raffled off on our social media for this podcast. And so I imagine that if that's a book that you've read, that the Cross Bronx Expressway is something you've thought of about for a long time as a policy issue, but hasn't necessarily had its moment for there to be something to be done about it. So I guess, how long have you kind of thought about that this is something that there needs to be an intervention from the government to do something about? And why is this the moment?
For two reasons. We are living in a moment of racial enlightenment. The 1619 Project, the Black Lives Matter. We as a society are more conscious of race than we've ever been in 400 years. And we are much more committed to advancing racial equity. Joe Biden speaks more about racial equity than Barack Obama did, not because he's more committed, but because it's a reflection of the times we live. So that's part of it, is a zeitgeist of racial enlightenment. And then part of it is we're in the midst of an FDR moment. And we have a historic opportunity to govern as boldly in the 21st century as FDR did in the 20th century. And we're willing to invest trillions of dollars to modernize the infrastructure of our country. And infrastructure is not simply about roads and bridges, it's about the quality of the air we breathe and the water we drink. It's about safe, decent, affordable housing. It's about access to green space. It's about access to the internet, especially in an age of remote learning and telehealth. So all the stars are aligned. You know, the progressive zeitgeist and the age of racial alignment, as I call it.
And when you think about the Cross Bronx Expressway in your own life, do you have like an earliest memory? I know you've said you grew up at the Throgs Neck houses, which are next to the highway, but do you have like an earliest memory of the highway?
The noise, just the Cross Bronx cuts right through the heart of the Bronx, expands from the east to the west. And, you know, as a child, I did not realize this, but it explained why asthma figured so prominently in my own childhood. You know, the crisis of asthma is not an accident. There's nothing accidental about asthma in the Bronx. There's nothing coincidental about cardiovascular disease in the Bronx. These are largely consequences of the Cross Bronx Expressway, which is both figuratively and literally a structure of systemic racism. And the systemic racism embodied in the Cross Bronx Expressway became too glaring to ignore during COVID-19. During COVID-19, the South Bronx had the highest rate of COVID-19 morbidity and mortality. Those in the Bronx were twice as likely, rather twice the likelihood of dying or becoming seriously ill from COVID. compared to the rest of the city. And as I said, almost all the fatalities had at least one comorbidity: obesity, diabetes, hypertension. And I recited some of these statistics at the press conference, but the rate of obesity can be as high as 42% in the South Bronx. The rate of diabetes is high as 22%. The rate of hypertension is high as 42%. Those public health outcomes will make a community like mine far more fragile in the face of an infectious disease. So the core indictment of the Cross Bronx Expressway is that it makes our community less resilient. It makes us all more fragile in the face of both chronic and infectious diseases.
And so when we think about solutions to this being a public health issue, and that this is, there's a moment now with actual funding from the federal government to intervene and do something about this. Like, is there a particular word that you use to think about, like, is it reimagining the Cross Bronx Expressway? Is it rectifying this? Is it, like, capping is a word that's thrown around a lot, right? And that we've talked about here. Is there a particular word that you've been using to talk about this with other policymakers?
All of the above. We have to reimagine the Cross Bronx Expressway. We have to reverse the legacy of environmental racism that it perpetuates. And we have to, and a concrete form of reimagination is capping the Cross Bronx Expressway with the deck park, transforming the highway into green space, which has considerable precedent in the United States. And it would represent a powerful repurposing of the Cross Bronx Expressway in the service of public health, in the service of environmental protection.
And when you asked for the infrastructure, like in the Daily News recently, you asked for the infrastructure bill to focus on the Cross Bronx Expressway. So what does that mean to you? And what does that mean to other policymakers outside of New York who are like, no, we have this other project that we want funding to go to? Like, how does that play out?
This is not a debate about memorandums, right? Like, the purpose of the plan is to promote racial equity and to reconnect neighborhoods that have been divided by highways. I'm not advocating for funding for the Cross Bronx Expressway out of provincialism. The South Bronx is objectively ground zero for racially concentrated violence. The Cross Bronx is objectively the kind of structure that has divided a neighborhood that was once fully connected. So it fits seamlessly into the $20 billion highway fund and the theme of racial equity at the core of the American Jobs Fund.
And so then is the main way or the only way to fund renovations and reimagination of the Cross Bronx through the infrastructure bill? Or are there other places you're thinking about to make this happen?
That's the best opportunity. If it could be easily done, it would have been done well before I arrived in Congress. I see in the present moment a historic opportunity to make real the transformation of the Cross Bronx Expressway. I'm going to fight for it. Nothing in life, especially nothing in Congress, is ever easy. But it's a fight worth waging, because what is at stake is nothing short of the life expectancy and the public health of the community that I represent, the community that I call home. If I'm not in politics to save lives, then why am I here?
And so I know yesterday, in partnership with a number of policymakers at the like city, state, and federal level, you guys wrote to Secretary Pete Buttigieg and others to call for the capping of the Cross Bronx. But are you getting, do you see support from this from other federal policymakers in New York, like in the Senate and in Congress?
So far, I've had conversations with DOT, which is receptive. I'm hoping to have a meeting with Secretary Buttigieg in the weeks to come. I know Mayor Pete from the presidential race. I did not run for president, but I participated in a number of events that included him. So I have something of a personal relationship there. I intend to make the case that the highway fund ought to prioritize the need to cap the Cross Bronx Expressway. How could it not? How could you have a racial equity plan that overlooks the poorest congressional district in America? That would make a mockery of itself.
And so then how do we go from, like, what does this process look like for the passing of the infrastructure bill to
It's going to be tough. First, the question is, are we going to go through the normal legislative process? And if we do, we have every reason to think Republicans will either string us along or dilute the package to the point of nothingness. And if we go through reconciliation, the process imposes constraints on what can be done and no one knows for sure what those constraints are because we're at the mercy of the public retailer. I prefer reconciliation because it means we can pass a genuinely comprehensive infrastructure investment free from Republican obstructionism. But it's going to be much tougher than the American Rescue Plan. The filibuster is a challenge. There are centrist Democrats, conservative Democrats in the Senate who pose a challenge. There's a sense in which I feel like we no longer live in a democracy. We live under the tyranny of Joe Manchin.
So then what, like there's been a lot of advocacy in the Bronx from community members who are there today, like Nilka Martell, and also from other local policymakers. How do those voices continue to push this along? And yeah, how do those voices help to make this happen as you continue to fight for this to be, for the infrastructure bill to be passed?
Politicians like me come and go, but it's the civic leaders who are fixtures in the community. It's the Bronx has a long and rich tradition of environmental activism, environmental justice activism that long predates my arrival in Congress. So I recognize them standing on the shoulders of activists who have been fighting this battle long before I have. I'm building on their foundation. And history teaches us that change often arises from the interplay of inside game and the outside game. And I'm the insider, but I need activists to play the outside game to create space for elected officials like me to move the ball as far as we can.
And so today at the press conference, there's an interesting question asked that I think maybe others have wondered is like, if the Cross Bronx Expressway has obviously done a lot of damage and it did that damage well before there was electric cars were a reality. But as people talk about like having more electric cars on the road, how do we, in your eyes, how is this definitively still a public health intervention if there's going to be more electric cars on the Cross Bronx Expressway in the next, let's say, decade to 15, 20 years?
The two are not mutually exclusive, number one. Number two, capping the short Cross Bronx Expressway is a short-term project. In the longer term, it's going to take time for us to install electric charging vehicle stations across the country, everywhere across the country. That's not something that happens overnight. It's going to take time. And it's going to take even longer to electrify both the public and private vehicle fleet. So we cannot afford to wait for electrification, which could be a decades long process. We have to cap the Cross Bronx Expressway in the short and medium term, and we have to electrify trucking in the long term. Having said that, we ought to prioritize areas like the South Bronx for electric charging vehicle stations. I think the communities that are hardest hit by diesel truck traffic exhaust ought to be the priority for electric vehicle infrastructure. So I've said to the Department of Transportation that when siting these charging stations, some consideration has to be given to public health outcomes. Where are the highest rates of asthma?
One point also to what you said is just like also that it's not just that you're getting rid of exhaust fumes, right? It's also that you're literally adding space to the borough, and that space can be used for, as you said today, it could be green space, it could be housing, it could be something else, which is also important beyond the lowering carbon. Like, it's important for so many different reasons. So
there's a study, it was a study done by the UK, and I suspect there are a number of studies that have shown proximity to green space. It is known to improve public health. In fact, one of the strategic priorities of the city is to ensure that every New Yorker is within a half a mile of green space or park. And if we were to transform the Cross Bronx Expressway into a green space, by that standard, we would benefit more than 200,000 Bronx residents who live within a half a mile of the expressway. So the benefits are varied and many. There's a public health argument here. There's an environmental protection argument here. There's a racial justice dimension here.
And when I think about your own career and trajectory moving up in city politics and eventually now being at the federal level, it seems like thinking about the built environment and the environment that people live in has been like really central to your work. I know you became well known for exposing poor conditions in public housing, I believe. And now this also seems like it could be, you know, it's something that you seem like you really care about and really want to see happen. So why is that something that is important to you or part of your goals as a policymaker?
Because both the housing in which you live, the neighborhood in which you live is fundamental to who you are and to whom you will become. You know, the research of Ross Chetty demonstrates that the strongest predictor of upward mobility is your neighborhood, is your zip code. The outcomes that matter most are the outcomes at the neighborhood level. Those are the amenities and the opportunities and the green spaces of your particular neighborhood will determine how far and how high you will climb the social and economic ladder of American society. You know, and I have a belief that housing is a human right, and housing within sustainable, equitable neighborhoods is the outcome that we should strive for. You know, as I said in the press conference, we should strive to build an America where the quality of the air you breathe is no longer dependent on your zip code.
That's the episode. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you to Congressman Torres and his team for allowing us to record this interview. Thank you to Emily Nadal for all things sound and production on this episode. Music by Sana Fujimura. If you're interested in continuing to follow public health concerns and community efforts to transform the Cross Bronx Expressway, follow us at Healthy Bronx on social media, follow Loving the Bronx on social media, and hopefully let's see something happen. Thanks for tuning in.